Hello, we're studying Rabash's article. What does it mean that before the Egyptian minister fell, their outcry was not answered in the work? You can read it in Hebrew in the Pesach book on page 185. You're invited to enter our website, of course, and you can also ask questions on kab.tv. Selected questions on the relevant topics will be asked live. Again, we're going to study Rabash's article. What does it mean that before the Egyptian minister fell, their outcry was unanswered in the work? Again, you can find it in the Pesach book in Hebrew or in Rabash articles.
All of the materials that we study in relation to entering Egypt and the slavery of Egypt, the exodus from Egypt, it's special material that explains to us, that clarifies to us the forces that reside in the person, how much we depend on them, how much we can organize them correctly, where they are, where they aren't, what are the limits of our participation in this whole process, and how does it influence us. And here we can really clarify the ups and downs, the nearness and farness. This is in our spiritual path, so for the first time here, we begin to feel these discernments of the forces and the intentions that exist within us. The interrelations, and surely it's all with regards to the power of connection in the group. We have to try to see the whole gamut of these conditions within the person, how it begins to become clearer, and how does he clarify it. And then he advances in this scrutiny and examination, becoming more and more knowledgeable in that. What is each and every detail? How something can be in control? Or under control? And how one can relate something to the upper force, and as if give him that work and support that, to the point that both surrenders and then joyfully wants to be devoted and walk in the darkness, most importantly, to escape one's ego and being able to cross the Red Sea. All of that is critical to learn before the reception of the Torah, so that we're able to work in a mutual way with the light that reforms. So let's read. If there are questions on the way that are necessary to ask, then ask, because the article is long. But we're reading together, we're one body, all of us are. There's really no one is escaping, no one is separated. Everyone's responsible for everyone else. And only in one's devotion to this connection we can understand something from the article. Go ahead.
The Pesach book, page 185, or in English, what does it mean that before the Egyptian minister fell, their outcry was not answered in the work? The Zohar says, as long as their minister had dominion over Israel, Israel's outcry was not heard. When their minister fell, it is written, the king of Egypt died. And promptly, and the children of Israel sighed from their work, and they cried, and their outcry went up to God. But until that time, their outcry was not answered. We should understand this. If he says that before their minister fell, their outcry was not answered, who caused their minister to fall so that afterward it will be possible to hear their outcry? We should also understand why, if their minister had dominion, it is impossible for their outcry to be answered. Does their minister have the power to detain the prayers of Israel? We should also understand what is written, then Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought harm to these people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to these people, and you have not saved your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a mighty hand he will send him. We should understand Moses' argument when he said, ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your behalf, he has done harm to these people, and you have not saved your people at all. It appears as though Moses' complaint was true, since it implies from the Creator's reply that what Moses said was true. But the Creator said, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. In other words, he would see what the Creator would do to Pharaoh. It seems as though it should have said, you will see, meaning that Moses will see, meaning ata, you with an aleph, which means you. Why does it say ata with ayin, which means now, which implies that now he will see? It means that when he came to Pharaoh previously and he harmed these people, there could not be an exodus from Egypt. But now there will be a place, for with a mighty hand he will send them and drive them out. We should understand why specifically now is the place of the exodus from Egypt. There are two things to understand here. One, why, when he came as the Creator's messenger, the situation of the people of Israel grew worse. Two, why specifically now, after the situation has deteriorated, there can be an exodus from Egypt. We should interpret this in the work. The Ari says that that the exile in Egypt was that the view of Kedusha, holiness, was in exile. This means that the Klipa of Egypt ruled over the people of Israel. We should interpret that the people of Israel means that the whole nation wanted to work for the sake of the Creator and not for their own sake, as it is known that Israel means Yeshar Kel, straight to the Creator, meaning everything for the Creator. The governance of Pharaoh is to the opposite, to work only for one's own sake. For this reason, the view of Kedusha means that we must work for the sake of the Creator, meaning to bestow. This discernment was in exile under the rule of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Well, Mitzrayim, Egypt in Hebrew, has the letters of Meitzar Yam, narrow sea. And it is known that narrow means scarce in chasadim, mercies. It is like the Hebrew expression, narrow-eyed, jealous, meaning that he can only receive and not give anything. Wide means expansive, meaning giving much. And narrow is the opposite, not giving. Which means that the klipa of Egypt was that each one could work only in order to receive in return. But without return, meaning only to bestow, he does not permit any action. This is considered that Egypt was narrowing or constraining the quality of Israel. By this we can interpret what our sages said. Anyone who constrains Israel becomes a Rosh, head. That is, who can control the quality of Israel? Only he who is the Rosh, he governs. Then he constrains the quality of Israel, not letting one work for the sake of the Creator, which is called to engage in chesed, mercy, but only in reception for oneself. This is called the klipa of Egypt. Therefore, the order of the work is, as our sages said, one should always engage in Torah and mitzvot, lo lishma, not for her sake, and from lo lishma we come to lishma, for her sake, since the light in it reforms him. This is so because man was born with a desire to receive for himself. Hence, if we want him to do something, to emerge from the state where he is used to working for his sustenance, meaning a person is told, until now, you knew that all your pleasures, by which you sustain the body so it can exist, came only from corporeal things. You found pleasure only in corporeal things, and this is called the sustenance of the body. Engage in Torah and mitzvot, where greater pleasure is clothed, so it is better for you to engage in Torah and mitzvot, because by this you will have more pleasure. It is like a person being told, stop working where you used to work. There is a company where you can earn 10 times more. If he believes what he is told, he will certainly leave the job where he was used to doing all the time and go work at a new place, since he will receive a higher return. This is called Lolishma. However, from Lolishma he will come to Lishma. Therefore, it is worthwhile to begin even in Lolishma, since in the end he will come to Lishma. It is as Maimonides says, therefore, when teaching little ones, women, and uneducated people, it is in order to receive reward until they gain knowledge. All this is because the body understands only the mother tongue. That is, if the first language that the mother speaks to it is the language of reception, meaning to work only for the will to receive for oneself, meaning to act only for its own benefit, and the language of bestowal is something new to it, and it does not understand it. It is very difficult to learn this language. That is, understanding this language requires help from above, so as to be able to grasp this language of the will to bestow. It was said about this, he who comes to purify is aided to understand this language. This is called the generation of Babylon. As it is written, they will not hear one another's language. In other words, when they were given the work of bestowal for each to work for one's friend, the package soon fell apart. That is, it is, as is written, they stopped building the city, since at the time that they were told that each one should work for one another, for his friend, they did not know this language, and no one wanted to work for another. Hence, they immediately stopped building the city, as they had no motivation to work for the sake of others. For this reason, when the people of Israel were in exile in Egypt and were under the governance of Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, Egypt, and wanted to emerge from his governance, they could not. It was still unclear to them what it means to work in order to bestow and not for one's own sake. Although they wanted to work for the sake of the Creator, they saw that they could not. Yet, they always had excuses as to why they cannot aim in order to bestow, and they did not feel that they were so far from the Creator. However, when Moses came to the people of Israel, and spoke to the Pharaoh in each and every one of them, meaning to the will to receive in their hearts, and told them that he wanted the Pharaoh in them not to dominate the quality of Israel in them, but that he would allow working for the sake of the Creator and not for the sake of the body. When Pharaoh of the nation heard what Moses had told them, to work only for the sake of the Creator, then they understood what it means to bestow and not receive, and were promptly weakened in the work, since the body resisted with all its might, so that they would not perform any act of kedusha, holiness. In other words, even the lolishma now became difficult for them to do. Before Moses came, they had strength to work, because they still did not know what it is for the sake of the Creator. But when Moses came and explained to them what it means to bestow and not receive anything, the Pharaoh of each one started asking questions. One, as it is written, Pharaoh asked, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Two, then came the wicked one's question, who asked, "What is this work for you?" It follows that once the people of Israel heard from Moses that they must work for the sake of the Creator, the real resistance of the evil in man began. This is the meaning of the words, "Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, why have you brought harm to these people? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he had done harm to these people.'" In other words, the body, which is called Pharaoh, began to resist the work. It follows that Moses' question was in order. That is, intellectually, we understand that if we keep the Torah mitzvah that the Creator commanded, the order should be that if we engage on the path of truth, the work should certainly be stronger, since we are marching on the path of truth, whereas lolishma is not on the path of truth. Hence, when Moses came to speak in the name of the Creator, the work should have been stronger, meaning to overcome the evil with the quality of truth. However, what did Moses see? It is written, "Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he had done harm to these people," meaning the work to overcome the evil has become harder. In other words, not only did they become better, meaning had more power to overcome the evil, but to the contrary, the evil gained more power. Yet the truth is that before we know what it means to do everything in order to bestow, the evil in man does not show its resistance all that much, since it is given a holding place while engaging in Torah and mitzvot. Yet, when the body hears what it means to bestow upon the Creator and not receive anything for one's own sake, meaning wanting to completely uproot the evil and not give it any grip on one's Torah and mitzvot, of course it resists with all its might, and does not allow being cancelled. It therefore follows that it is not that something new occurred in the evil. That is, it is not that now he received the evil. Rather, the evil that was within him had nothing to do and was virtually idle within him. But when a person wants to give all his actions to the Creator and not give anything to his body, called the will to receive for oneself, it begins to show its strength and resists being overthrown from governance over the body. It is written in the Zohar that the evil inclination in man is called a foolish old king. It says, why is it called a king? Because it controls the body. And why is it called old? Because as soon as one is born, it is present in a person. whereas the good inclination comes to a person after 13 years. It therefore follows that as long as the evil is not revealed, there is still no one to cancel. But once its might has been exposed in full, it is possible to revoke it. Since then, when he revokes it, he revokes it entirely. However, when the evil is not revealed, only a part of it can be cancelled. And this is not wholeness, since from above, when a person is given something, he is given a whole thing. Otherwise, if one were to be given the power to be able to work for the sake of the Creator, if a bad part that has not been revealed remains in a person, it follows that a part that is bad and is still not revealed remains within a person and works together with the intention for the sake of the Creator. And this is not considered wholeness. This is, as the sages said, anyone who associates for the sake of the Creator with another thing is uprooted from the world. We should interpret this in a work. This means that if a person keeps Torah mitzvot for the sake of the Creator, but does part of the work also for the sake of the body, meaning that it will yield benefit to the body too, he is uprooted from the world, meaning from the spiritual world, since everything must be for the sake of the Creator and not at all for one's own sake. It follows that before the evil reveals its true form, it is impossible to give the person the power to uproot it, since he still does not have the full measure of the bad that will give him the power to overcome, as it is known that there is no light without a kli, meaning no feeling without a lek. According to the above, we can understand the Creator's answer when he told him, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh." We asked. It should have said Ata with an Aleph, meaning you, meaning that Moses would see what the Creator will do to Pharaoh. Why does it say Ata with an Ayin, meaning now? According to what we have explained, it is impossible to give half a thing. Rather, first the full evil must be disclosed, and then comes the help from above over a complete thing. Therefore, after Moses said, "Why have you brought harm to these people and did not save at all?" but rather the bad manifested in all its might, now is the time when the salvation will come from above. This is why he said, "Now," meaning that now you will see that I will give them the necessary help. As it is written, "For with a mighty hand he will send them, and with a mighty hand he will drive them out of his land." For only now is the time, since all the bad has been revealed in them. Now we can understand why, when Moses came to as the Creator's emissary, their situation grew worse. The reason is that this is not regarded that they grew worse, but that when Moses let them see what it means that they must work for the Creator, as it is written, "Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name," meaning that we must work for the sake of the Creator. And the quality of Pharaoh must descend from its throne. Then there was room for the revelation of the evil. It follows that by Moses explaining to them the meaning of working in order to bestow, they advanced in the work and achieved the degree of truth, to know how the evil controls them. Before Moses came to them as an emissary of the Creator, they did not know the truth, how far they were from the Creator. It follows that although in action they grew worse, in truth they advanced. For only now do they have kelim, vessels, that the Creator can fill with His help. As our sages said, he who comes to purify is aided. Now we can understand the second question. Why, specifically after they grew worse, the time came when the Creator gave the help. This was so because only now do they have the kelim that are ready to receive a complete thing. This is why it is written, now you will see, with an ayin. Concerning what we asked about what the Zohar says, that before their minister fell, the outcry of Israel was not heard, as it is written, and the king of Egypt died, and promptly, and their cry went up unto God. But until this time, their outcry was not answered. We asked, 1. Who caused their minister to fall? 2. Why does their minister have the strength to detain their prayer? We can understand this the way Baal HaSulam said, as is presented in the book A Sage's Fruit. The thing is that to the extent that the children of Israel thought that Egypt were enslaving them and impeding them from serving the Creator, they truly were in the exile of Egypt. Hence, the Redeemer's only work was to reveal to them that there was no other force involved here, that I am not a messenger, for there is no other force but Him. This was indeed the light of redemption. It follows that the exile is primarily that we think that there is a minister of Egypt, meaning that their minister is given authority and he governs Israel. When a person thinks so, their minister rules. When the people of Israel want to emerge from the governance of the minister of Egypt and see they are asking the Creator to deliver them from his dominion, but the Creator does not deliver them from exile and they are under his prophet, his governance, then they say that the Creator does not hear their prayer. The evidence of this is that he does not hear their outcry, since they see that they keep regressing instead of progressing. In other words, each time they see how they are farther from the work of bestowal, since it makes sense that according to the work and toil that a person gives and prays to the Creator, he would deliver him from Pharaoh's governance. Yet each day he sees the opposite. That is, each day he sees that Pharaoh is ruling over him with more power, meaning he sees how he is more connected to the will to receive, and also he is more remote from the will to bestow. For this reason, the person says that the Creator does not hear the prayer. This is the meaning of what the Zohar says, that as long as their minister was given dominion over Israel, Israel's outcry was not heard. This is considered that their minister detains the prayers of Israel. That is, the people of Israel say so. Otherwise, why does the Creator not hear their outcry? And what happens in the end? Meaning, after the full form of the evil has been revealed to them, and they did not run away from the battle in the middle of the work, at that time they were rewarded with seeing the truth, that there is no minister of theirs here who was detaining their prayers, but the Creator Himself did everything. As it is written, "For I have hardened His heart." That is, the Creator made them see each time how far they were from Kedusha, meaning that the Creator revealed to them the evil so that I may set these signs of mine. Thus, specifically by revealing all the bad, the Creator can give them the help for a complete thing. Accordingly, it means that when they were rewarded with seeing and the king of Egypt died, which the Zohar calls the fall of their minister, this knowledge that they thought that there was a minister to Egypt and that he had authority and he was detaining their outcry so it would not be heard above, that view has fallen from the people of Israel. Instead, now they were rewarded with seeing that there was no minister of Egypt who detained the prayers of Israel from being accepted. Rather, the Creator did hear their prayer, and the Creator hardened their hearts. That is, the Creator wanted the real form of evil called will to receive for oneself to be revealed. It follows that he did hear their outcry. Were it not for the awakening from below of the people of Israel, who wanted to emerge from Egypt's governance, meaning when they saw that all of their work was in favor of the will to receive for themselves, called Pharaoh, king of Egypt, without this awakening, the Creator would not reveal to them the form of the bad. The Creator shows the form of the bad only to those who want to emerge from the governance of the bad. They think that they are growing worse each time, when in truth, it is common sense that everything in which we exert, we advance more or less, but we do not regress. The answer is that we are not regressing. Rather, we are advancing to the form of truth of how much the bad can work within them. Then, when they have a complete clue of evil, the Creator gives them the help. And then, everyone sees that the Creator did hear the prayer the whole time. According to the above, it is clear what they thought, that there was a minister of Egypt who detains the prayers. We asked, why does this minister have the power to control the prayers of Israel? The answer is that this is what they thought. The second question, what caused their minister to fall from his authority? It is that they worked all the time and did not run away from the battle until there was room to reveal all the bad. Then they were rewarded with the truth. Until then, there was also no minister here of theirs, but they thought so. It follows that two things came at once, which our sages call his divorce and his hand come at once. According to the above, we need great strengthening and not to run away from the battle, but to believe that the Lord hears the prayer of every mouth. And there is no other force in the world, but only one force, that of the Creator. And He always hears everything that is turned to Him.
What an article. Really, questions? Yes.
A question of Lema from Los Angeles. How do we balance the pleasures within the ten, according to what it says, which is called the sustenance of the body, engaging the Torah mitzvot, where the greater pleasure is addressed? Therefore, it's worthwhile for you to engage in Torah mitzvot, since by that you will get a greater pleasure, and not to lose the direction of lishma.
How to balance the work?
How do we balance the pleasures in the ten according to what it says there about the sustenance of the body?
We have to understand that the ten is not a kli. The kli is the ten that becomes one. To the extent that they can integrate with that notion of one, that becomes the spiritual kli. And towards this unity and this consolidation. This is what our work is for. And so then you feel the disturbances from Pharaoh's minister, which is deliberately done by the Creator as a burdening of the heart, to lead them to the understanding of what is connection and separation, as well as the unity of the connection, where they discover the new state. But everything is measured, again, I say, not in the ten, but in how the ten becomes one. And it becomes one to the extent that it's connected with one force, that there's none else besides him. And there are no many forces to the extent they can unify all the disturbances as one single disturbance and feel that it's not a disturbance, it's a teaching. It's like a process where a teacher gives an exercise to a student. And so they always hold on with arvut for each other. Everyone receives a burdening of the heart in a different time, in a different way, with respect to other discernments. And everyone helps their friends. There's no such thing that one cannot help the other. Because again, what exists in one does not exist in the other. So even if I'm in a descent and I cannot exit it, but towards my friend, I can help him. I can help. Because he is in other discernments, in his burdening of the heart. Next. What's next? Next is the matter of paying attention to the reward. At first, we only work for the reward, a reward that we understand. Success, corporeal success, not about succeeding in corporeality in this world, but just to know, to be in control, to understand. Then we start moving to a different kind of success, which is about how devoted I am to the group and how through the group I am devoted to the upper force. And then my payment or reward for all the labor is to annul in the group, to dissolve in the upper force, meaning I already work on acquiring the vessels of bestowal. To move to Lishma. What else? That's the whole process of Egypt, from one end to the other. We go in there in order to gain and succeed with our ordinary vessels. And that's the way Joseph talks as well. And so they fit into Egypt very well. Because to the as little as their vessels of bestowal are, they are working in Egypt. The will to receive is blossoming, enjoying, everything's great. Until, bit by bit, out of the work, out of how the Creator works on them, they begin to feel that there is separated, opposite, the reward changes. They begin to see their work differently. And that's the progress. Egypt is a very special time. That's why all the degrees are a memory of a recollection of the exodus from Egypt, because these vessels have to be renewed in each and every degree until the final correction. Yes.
Itai from Romania is asking, before the entrance to Egypt, the people of Israel were working in Lolishma, but they were already on the degree of Yashar El, Yashar Kel. What's the difference between the people of Israel before the entrance to Egypt and the people of Israel after they come out of Egypt?
Before the entrance to Egypt, it is a small will to receive. There's no great resistance. They understand they have to connect, because that leads to the whole spiritual success. And the spiritual success, the way it's depicted to them, is success. The way they can see it now in the vessels of reception. They are connected to Egypt. On the previous level, being in the land of Canaan, there's hunger. And in the next degree of Egypt, there's abundance. So they go there. They fit in. But bit by bit, in the burdening of the heart, the burdening of the will to receive, they begin to see that the work is different, that the connection itself, when they try to connect and they want to be successful at it for egoistic purposes, which is what they've got right now, which is what they can understand. They can't see more than that. So that's why there is the factor of the light that reforms. And that's the main thing here. Without it, we wouldn't succeed at all. As much as you try to connect in the will to receive, you'll end up with a will to receive. So what we have to do, though, is make actions of connections meticulously. As we're told, this is called the work of Egypt. Very organized. And Pharaoh organizes their work in order to lead them to holiness. So what's up to us to do is the actions that we are instructed, and our ego, by all these actions, will be reformed. We will feel how it doesn't agree, that it suffers blows, that we want to connect, and we can't, and so on and so forth. Many discernments. This is a really unique article, so I would read it several times. All right? Yes.
Abraham in Babylon had a complaint against the Creator. In Egypt, Moses had a complaint against the Creator. Does the complaint, the argument, teach about a connection, about this transition or conduit, a passageway between the Creator and the created beings?
Yeah, the claim is that every time we move from state to state, then moving from one state to another happens above reason. And that's why we don't feel the continuity. And that's why there seems to be a leap, an inversion of thought and calculation and attitude until that analysis happens in the person, and then he enters the next state. Yes.
There are days when ideas that we talk about in the lesson of bestowal, connection, creator, cause you later on throughout the day to be paralyzed. You don't have the ability to do anything. Here too, this idea that the knowledge comes to the people of Israel that they have to work only for others, only for the Creator, it begins to spin this wheel of the burden of their heart, the awareness that they're working for Pharaoh, that it's pointless, that you have to ask of Pharaoh, ask of the Creator.
Maybe think otherwise. That don't resist. You know, try to make an exercise of agreement. If I work and everything is for the others, how easy everything becomes. I do whatever I can, and I don't worry about anything. I just think about how others will be better off that. That's it. Try to think that way. It immediately takes away so much concern off of you. Check it. It's a psychological exercise. That's not spiritual, but you'll see. What? Why do people enjoy in groups of that sort?
There's fulfillment to the ego. I can do things that others are not doing.
And there's also a sense of freedom. I do what I'm needed, what's demanded of me, but the result is not my concern. Everything flows out of me. That's it. The will to receive doesn't limit you. Try it. You'll see how it relieves you from pressure. Meaning there's an egoistic game here of the will to receive that attracts us to that. Yeah.
When is it considered that you come to... When the recognition of evil advances the person, and when the recognition of evil can be like putting an obstacle before a blind person? When does the time come? He talked about this time of now. Now you will see. There is a time when it is fitting to work through awareness of evil that will push you forward, and there is a time when it's not fitting, when it's better for a person to stay the way he is. What is this now? That now is the time to begin.
If you hold on to the principle of none else besides Him, and you try to maintain that, then the manners of your work change each time besides this principle. And that's how you keep advancing towards the right direction. The Creator is always more hidden and more revealed. More hidden and more revealed. But His... your aim. More. Yes.
He writes here that what causes progress in the scrutiny is the question of what does it mean to bestow and not receive anything in return. From that come the questions of Pharaoh. From that comes the revelation of evil.
Well, that's what I told Rami.
So what does it mean to bestow and not receive anything in return?
Bestow and not receive anything? To work. And that the work, the result of the work, will be received in someone else. And then your work is entirely, completely in your account, actually. The account, though, is not yours. Try to do this in the group.
It's really felt when you said it now, how it immediately awakens inside a scrutiny, immediately.
If there's a general consensus in the group, more or less, and group support for this, you will be able to do it, as well as pray to have energy and power, light that reforms, and then you'll advance.
How is it possible, for example, now, to have a scrutiny, the right scrutiny, of what it is to bestow and not receive anything, and to simply I don't know if it's true to speak this way, but to reveal the evil inclination so that we come to the right result.
Why should we discover the evil inclination? We always aim to discover a good thing. What, I'm smart because I read what he wrote? No. So the question is,
what it is to bestow and not receive anything.
How to correctly connect in the group. Right? When everyone helps the others be connected, serves as an example, and then we all ask for the light that reforms until the Creator appears between us. Simple. I'm not smart to go through all those nuances that he wrote about in this article. It'll happen by itself if I advance correctly. Most important for us is to decide that. It's doable. It's a doable exercise. We have all that's needed for it. Yes, Nessie.
It says that Pharaoh actually asked this question, who is the Lord that I should listen to him? So there's awareness of the Creator at least. Then comes the question of a wicked one who says, what is the work you do? It seems like the wicked one is stronger than Pharaoh. We're always focusing on Pharaoh. But specifically through the evil, when we come to the wholeness of the evil, only then comes the salvation of the Lord. So what's
your problem? How the evil helps the Creator succeed.
We always say that the people of Israel came out of Egypt because of Pharaoh.
You see that he helps, that it pushes. The ego itself indicates to people that it's impossible to succeed in it.
Yes. So what in the end causes them to come out? Pharaoh or the revelation of the evil?
Pharaoh, which discloses the evil.
How do we use that? What should we do so that...
Wait, we haven't come to that yet. You'll start connecting, then you'll start discovering these frictions. And then you'll see how it helps. It's all with respect to the connection. It's not intellectual or anything. It's only towards that point of connection, the center of the group.
Great, so where is the evil? In Egypt or after they come out of Egypt?
Who? What?
The revelation of the evil.
Recognition of evil?
Where is it?
The recognition of evil is in the center of the group. The more you are drawn to the center of the connection between you, there you discover that it pushes you backwards. Yes, Vlad.
So what exercise did you recommend before? What was the exercise? What should we do?
No. Ask Itai. Ask Itai. The exercise of connection. What are the exercises we need to do? There's only one exercise. It doesn't matter where we are, conventions, meals, lessons, at work, wherever you are. There's one practice of connection. Coming back to Adam Rishon.
Yesterday we had an exercise that the friends are like babies and you care for them. So that if not for them, it's not worthwhile living. Mm-hmm. And it was really strong. It was clearly felt that everyone was trying. Today it sounded like what we did yesterday, it was like a game.
So what? What's not good about that being a game?
Because it seemingly felt how much we're not capable of...
If a child, a little child, that you see him playing in order to grow. If he would do that intellectually, consciously, that would be the smartest work there is, because he's working in order to grow. So because he doesn't have the mind for it, the Creator is activating him. But these are the smartest actions that can ever be. The higher providence takes that upon itself, and it runs that little creature to make it grow. The Creator is doing that. The kids have no mind of their own. in that sense. They're being managed to grow. Why don't you want to do this all over yourself, with your mind?
We do want to do it.
All right, so why do you say, today it seems like a game? Of course it's a game, so what? Our whole life is like that. The game means that I wish to envision a more advanced state. And I do all sorts of actions to enter it. I play with it. I play in advancing. That's how it always is. Always. If we want to advance from place to place, it is only by game. Cells in the body or in plants, anywhere, if they want to grow, they create a game. They have this simulation. In short, they simulate the state that they want, and only by discovering the deficiency for an advanced state, the light that reforms is drawn, and then it works. And it works in each and every cell in the body, and it's the same light that works. Only there it happens instinctively, naturally. But you always have to discover a deficiency, receive light from above, and grow. Another deficiency, another light, and more growth.
So the right result from our game, our exercise, is that the next day you discover how much you cannot, and you begin anew?
Right. Not from the beginning. It's the next degree.
Work, to bestow and not to receive anything. It's another exercise in connection.
Right. It's very difficult to annul oneself. Very difficult. Give him a microphone, he won't move.
What are the signals that keep this picture of the center of the group? What are the signals that sustain the picture of the center of the group?
Signals? Like what?
Signs that is creating the picture of the center
that
of
holds.
The group. Yeah, the center of the group.
That everyone disappears there. It's like, you know, they say that there's, you know, in space, you have these
black holes.
Right, black holes. Yeah, in Hebrew, it's black holes. And it sucks everything into it, but that's the wormhole into the next dimension. That's the center of the group.
What keeps this picture alive?
That we wish to disappear there. To depart from our ego, and there we have contact with the Creator. That's what holds it.
It doesn't have like an X axis and a Y axis?
According to what? What's the X and Y?
I'm asking you.
I don't know what you mean by X and Y.
Maybe that on the one hand there is the revelation of the evil, on the other hand the revelation of the good. This keeps the sustains the picture. I'm asking you, like two forces that have to keep it alive and, you know, refreshing it.
I realize that this is the only way in which I can advance towards adhesion with the Creator. That's it. And only if I lose my ego, and that is by practicing with the friends, then I reach this kind of adhesion with the Creator. Eventually, I have to see this kind of picture. All right, we're moving to tests. What?
Denise from Moscow is asking, what is the difference between a spiritual exercise and a psychological exercise? How can we do only spiritual exercises, not psychological exercises during the day?
That depends on man's attitude. Whether it's inner or outer, psychological or spiritual. It depends on the person. But basically, you have to do it anyway. What we are told, what they tell us, we have to do it. The degree, the height of the exercise, how we practice it, that days will tell. Person's progress will happen. All right? Yes?
He writes here, and by this, according to what we said, that you cannot give up a thing, rather before you have to disclose all the evil, and then comes the help from above over a complete thing.
All the evil that is necessary for the recognition of the evil called Egypt. But in every degree, the recognition of evil is whole. Only then you see there's more evil, more will to receive to correct. No. Egypt is divided into years. And we need to understand that by the efforts we make, we discover that evil more and more. That can't be revealed at once, because otherwise we won't be able to suffer it.
But every time another layer of evil is revealed, in my respect, it's a complete evil.
For now. And they show you more and more until you reach a state that that recognition of evil is enough for you to disconnect from it. You don't disconnect from the evil that's revealed. It's revealed, you don't agree, you do want it, yes, no, good, bad, you curse it out, whatever. But still, you don't agree in everything, no matter what, in your whole, pay with your life in order to disconnect from it. You're not in that.
Stand, another layer of evil was revealed to me. What am I supposed to do with it?
Every evil that's revealed, you must reveal it in a purposeful manner. Towards what is it evil? Or either towards your ego, towards a bad feeling, towards an understanding which isn't sufficient, towards friends, group, life, and so on, or you hate that evil because it disconnects you from bestowing to the Creator through the group, until you reach such a recognition, it takes time. The evil can be revealed at once. In revealing it, when you go through the 10 blows, plagues of Egypt, it's the kind that are better to be dead than alive. Why? You have all those pots with all the food you want? No. I'm disconnected from connection between us and the Creator. I can't. That becomes the most important thing to me. Start feeling that structure of Adam Rishon, that is my home. That's what I want to be in. The coming out of Egypt is very, very sharp. It's a very precise, a very special border between being under the ego's control and above it. I have no words. After Egypt, it's something completely different. It's a different Adam.
So if another layer of evil is revealed in me, which I identify in me, and I identify that it is between me and the connection with the friends and the ability to think or bestow upon the Creator, so what am I supposed to do with it? In order to work with it correctly, in order to utilize it correctly.
Only connection. There's nothing to offer. It's the most confident, simple thing right in front of us.
But what does it mean in practice?
In practice, that if you just state you're connected, you succeed. If you reach a state where you really want to connect and you can't, you're even more successful. And then you can run away or uplift. Uplift above the state to the next. What is the next? Disconnection from any corporeal connection between us. And feel that we're under the control of the upper force. The Creator comes before us, either fire or the cloud. Okay, test.
Moving on to the next.